We turn now to the Georgia special election. Democrat John Ossoff, Republican Karen Handel, competing for Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price's now empty seat. The elections may shed light on the strength of anti-Trump sentiment in a traditionally Republican district. Now, at a campaign event just last night, Karen Handel speaking about the choices facing Georgia voters.
This election, it is very, very clear the choice and the decision that voters have. We have my opponent who talks about all the things that he's going to do. And then there's me. I've done it.
We welcome in a Bloomberg government congressional reporter, Greg Giroux, in the Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. And a lot of people saying, Greg, that this is a referendum on Trump or Trump policies or the way Trump has been trying to govern. What say you? Is that fair?
I think it's fair to say it's an early referendum for the White House, although this is just one district and we are 16 months, more than 16 months before the nationwide midterm congressional elections that will deliver the ultimate verdict for Trump. But this is a very unusual, atypical battleground to have such a consequential special election. Georgia's 6th district, the big election today, is a dependably Republican area, a swath of very well-educated upper-income suburbs that typically gives Republican candidates like Tom Price 60% or more of the vote. However, President Trump barely won the district in the 2016 election. That has Democrats confident they can steal a Republican-held seat in an area of the country where Democrats have typically struggled.
Greg, we've just been talking to Billy House about what's going on in D.C., the various inquiries into Russia and Trump. Is there any evidence about how that issue plays to voters in Georgia and South Carolina? Do they see that as being one of the important issues in this election, or are they more concerned with the jobs and healthcare and domestic issues?
The latter, jobs, healthcare, domestic issues. There's been little to no evidence that voters in that district are being swayed or motivated by the Russia probes or the problems with the Trump White House in that regard. I think the people who are probably people who would have voted against, voted against the Republican candidate to send a message to Trump anyway. But it's mostly jobs and the economy down there.
And the conventional wisdom also that even if the Democrat doesn't win in this red area of this red state, that it would provide impetus for future races, that others may be sparked into getting more politically savvy and getting into more races.
Yeah, Democrats have really gone in all in for this election. They, the outside groups that and campaign committees that support Democrats didn't spend a whole lot of money in other districts that were less competitive. They spent an awful lot of money here. Mm-hmm. And I think the thinking is that even if the Democrats somehow fall short, and that's very possible, that John Ossoff may lose the race narrowly, that this is such a dependably Republican district that, Democrats would still overperform historically and that they could replicate this performance across other districts that are more competitive and that they could possibly win from the Republicans in the 2018 midterms.
And what does this tell us about – what does this election tell us about what the Democrats think are going to be the weakest points of this administration in 2018 or even in 2020, I guess?
I think it shows that one factor in congressional elections is the president's approval rating. The White House's party typically loses a lot of seats in midterm elections. I think the average in the post-World War II era is the White House loses about 26 House seats on average in a midterm election. The Republicans can afford to the Republicans can afford to lose only 23, so they're right on the edge there. I think a big factor in this race and other races is what's Trump's approval rating. Right now, it's in the high 30s, historically low. If Trump gets his approval rating up, then that gives a little bit more breathing room to Republicans in the 2018 election. But if it hovers around in the low 30s, then that could be dangerous for Republican candidates because it gives them less political cover.
I know it's always a tricky business to try to look into a crystal ball or try to figure out how things are going to play out, especially with this race, because we were talking off air a little bit about how tight things do appear. But I want to look at the voter turnout and try to get an estimate of what the voter turnout is looking like and what that might mean as far as results. Or does it? Does it just mean more people are getting engaged and involved because there's such a spotlight on this race?
Yeah, the fact that so much money has been spent, and just a word on that, more than $60 million.
I think 60 now?
It should be over $60 million when all is said and done, and that includes the $23.6 million that John Ossoff raised just through the end of May.
Wow.
So he'll clearly be over $25 million. When you include the outside groups, it's well over 50. I think it'll be over $60 million for one congressional seat. So the spotlight and the money, the national spotlight and the money certainly has helped gin up turnout. Georgia has a very liberal early voting law, and we saw a lot of people vote early in the first round election in April. I think more than 150,000 people have voted early in this second round. So at 7:01 Eastern time, right after the polls close, we'll get a huge batch of votes in the Georgia election. But there's still a lot of people who will vote today, and it may take some time. We may be up pretty late to determine who's going to win this election.
How late would that be for our hardcore audience? I mean, 7:01 sounds like a good deal, but you're saying many more hours than that, right? At what time could we expect to know who won?
Well, it depends on how quickly the vote is cast and if just the margin between the two candidates. If we're talking about a race that's within a point, a percentage point, then we could be up until the wee hours. If these late reporting precincts, like from Fulton County, which doesn't exactly count its votes expeditiously, we could be up until the wee hours of the morning. But just depends on how quickly the votes are tallied.
And we have about 15 seconds left. Haven't even touched on the South Carolina special election, but that one you pretty much figure it's a red state.
Yeah, it's Mick Mulvaney's seat. Has suburbs of Charlotte. Trump won it by 18 percentage points. I don't think the Republican Ralph Norman will win the race by that much, but it should be a Republican retention.
All right, we're going to watch it. We're going to check back with you, see how it does. Bloomberg government congressional reporter Greg Giroux, thank you. Always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much.